like to thank everyone who read. At this time, I would like to introduce you to our first speaker, Joan H.
Hi, I'm Addict Named Joan.
Hey, Joan.
It's good to be here. I know it's only through God's grace and mercy that I'm here. When I was asked to share, she showed me a list of workshops and told me to choose one. And I think one was the 12th step, and then it was this one. So I figured if I did either or, it would probably end up being the same thing, because the 12th step is about giving service and coming back and letting the newcomer know that when you get this, you just don't ride off into the sunset and say, I've arrived, and I don't have to come back and help someone else. This is truly about giving it back. I didn't end up in Narcotics Anonymous because of my parents, because I didn't have a good upbringing, or I just woke up one day and said I needed help. I ended up here solely because of Joan. I made some unhealthy choices in my life. I had both parents growing up. It was seven children. We had house to live in, nice clothes to wear, church on Sunday, school was a requirement, sent to the country every summer, wherever you wanted to go or not, you know. And it wasn't until I was old enough to really buck and say I wasn't going back. You know, because by that time I had gotten a taste of the street life, and my mother was still being too strict. You know, she was talking about come in by 12, when I knew where I was going, things ain't get started till 12. So I say she got to be insane, because I was going to the go-go, and if you from the D.C. area, you know what the go-go is. You know? And she was talking about coming in by 12, and I tried to explain to her Chuck didn't come on at 12. You know, so I left. And I ended up, I would want to say, on Skid Row. You know, I hit a bottom that was deep enough for me. At the end, I was the addict that wore about 117 pounds. At any given time, I would have $1.50 in my pocket. I was living to use and using to live. I was the addict at the end that ended up stealing from my parents. I mean, like a rat, because I would wait until they went to sleep, and then I would crawl on the floor like a rat and steal their money, and then help them look for it the next day. I became petty also. I was the addict at the end that I couldn't do anything unless I had something to change my mood, other than, you know, the breath and my high power blowing my body. After that, I needed something to even function, to even wash my face. I was the addict at the end, just identified with waking up with no money, and all day just hanging around like a hot dog stand, waiting for someone to either give you a little something, or I was the addict that squatted on yours, as soon as you bat your eyes, I get it. Just imagine, eventually, after all day waiting to get something to take the sickness off, and you finally managed to get something, but you really couldn't enjoy it because you was too worried about the next one and where it was coming from. Because, see, I was the person, I couldn't save anything. What? What was going in the watch pocket? What was going up in the closet? And definitely it wasn't going under the mattress. So it was just really bad at the end. And how I got rescued was I committed a crime, you know, and I got introduced to jail. And the attorney told me I needed to go to treatment or I was going to jail. And this time for more than 30 days. I was going to do at least 4 years or more, probably in a women's prison. And you know all I thought about was getting chosen when I got off the bus. I said, honey, I'm going in treatment. You know. And I went into treatment. And the same day I got there, it was on a Friday, the H&I Subcommittee of Narcotics Anonymous brought the message. The message of hope. And when those folks came down the steps to bring the meeting, when they passed by my seat, the first thing that attracted me was the aroma of perfume. Something I hadn't used for a long time. Perfume what? Where? Also, they looked good, and they seemed to have been happy. They seemed to have been pleased where they were. And it was a Friday night, and it was like, they could be 1,000 places other than in a treatment center talking to a bunch of, that I know today, addicts. Today I know that they were in service. Today I know that they were in service. And just so happened, today I am the chair of the D.C. Area H&I Subcommittee. And I'm honored to be doing what they did for me. And trust me, this wasn't my destination. You know, because in my mind, I say I would just get clean, and then I probably could learn how to sell drugs better. I know somebody identified because they tried it. You know, and what happened was, I guess after about 6 months of being there, my brother was shot and killed as a result of getting clean and then going back and lost his life. So I said, well, I can't do that. So when those people came to bring a meeting, they kind of suggested some things to the group. You know, they were like, try NA. You know, treatment will get you clean, but it won't keep you clean. Maybe you can come to NA. And what they said was, try and get to the meeting 15 minutes early, at least 15 minutes early. And that would afford you to meet some people. Because back then, when you walked into a room, a Narcotics Anonymous room, someone would always greet you. If your face was new, they would introduce themselves, and they would ask you your name, because 9 times out of 10, you were probably scared and was wondering what they wanted, you know, and they would take me to a seat, offer me some coffee, and welcome me. And eventually, what happened was I started observing people doing certain things. And the first service position that I had gotten was getting to the meeting early enough to help set up the chairs. And then as time went on, the next service position was making coffee. And what the coffee position did for me, it afforded me to meet people. Because they would come into the room to get coffee, and they would say, hi, how you doing? And then next thing you know, everybody in the meeting knew me. And I didn't want nobody touching the coffee pot. I didn't want nobody wasting sugar. I didn't want nobody wasting cream. I just took over. They say, Joan, calm down. You know, because I took over. You know how when you get into a position and you had it for so long, you think it's yours. You know, and you get crazy. You know, and they don't even want to come in and get coffee no more. They're like, who in the coffee room? Joan, okay. You know, and they go the other way, you know. So what that told me was that it was time to give up the coffee position and turn it over to someone else. But that position was really, really helpful for me because it taught me responsibility. Because it said that I needed to get to the meeting at least in half an hour early so that the pot could get hot. That it wouldn't make sense to get to the meeting when it starts. You know, the pot take at least 20 minutes to get hot. People do that crap today. Come to the meeting 10 minutes after it starts, running in the kitchen, looking crazy, trying to make coffee for somebody, and the meeting's going to be over in a few minutes. Anyway, so I gave up that position, and then the next thing attracted me was becoming a secretary. See, I believe, you know, the first tradition talks about the unity that we need in this program in order for us to keep this thing going. See, we are a community amongst ourselves. We are supposed to support ourselves. We are supposed to go into a place that we pay rent to a building, a church, or whatever, and we're supposed to show responsibility. We're supposed to be able to take care of ourselves. We're supposed to. You know, so the next position I got in was secretary. And boy, did I have pride in that. I even got crazy in that position. You know. But the thing about me is that I'm committed. When I take on a position, I do it to the fullest. I do it to the fullest. But what happened to me was that when somebody else got the position, I started placing expectations on them because they didn't do it like I did it. I got to the meeting a half an hour early. Why are you getting here 10 minutes before the meeting? I would approach people, confront them. You'd be like, what is up with that chick? Who's that? You know, and what I would do was, you know, help them to see how important it was for the secretary to get to the meeting, to set the table up really neat and nice with a lot of literature, not two pamphlets over here, a key tag meeting that didn't have any key tag meeting, you know, any key tags, you know, couldn't even get a basic list at the meeting. So I would, you know, help them see that it was important to get here early enough to set it up, because when a person comes into the meeting, they can come and look on the table and get the life-saving information. I even know the secretary is taking the literature down before the meeting was over. And you know, these areas know me, love. When I saw somebody taking the literature down before the meeting was over, I kindly tiptoe over there. And I say, you know, excuse me, my name is Joan, but you can't take that down before the meeting is over. How are they going to get it if it's not there for them to get? And someone would look at me like, all right. And then someone would say, oh, thank you, I didn't know that. I say, yeah, we're a team. You know, we're helping each other. You know, so I took pride in being the secretary, and then when it was time to give out the key tags, Lord, I mean, when I got here, you know, when a person got a 30-day chip, the room was in an uproar. Today, somebody might get a chip, you might hear one clap. I said, people, I couldn't stop using it for 30 seconds, more or less 30 days. You know, so as a secretary, I would put oomph into it. You know, I'd be loud and banging and, you know, getting everybody into it. You know, I'm in service. I'm happy. You know, so I did the secretary's position to the best of my ability. And, of course, as the coffee position, I knew when it was time to move on when I started comparing my service work to yours. You know, so I said it's time to give it up. You know, And I've done a lot of service. I kind of moved up the scale, you know, and so I became a chairperson. And the first meeting I chaired was at a woman's meeting. And that afforded me to have to go to other meetings to meet women, different women, to bring in a message of hope. So I couldn't just grab somebody from God knows, I don't know where, and bring in a message of mess. You know, to find people that had a clear message of Narcotics Anonymous, wasn't mixing up, you know, wasn't choosing somebody that went to NACA, BA, DA, all kind of A's, and by the time they got up there to share, they had confused the literature, they was all crazy. I said, Lord have mercy. You know, so that's not what I wanted to do. So I went out and I got women that could bring in, or speakers that could bring in a message. And of course, you know, I moved around and I chaired other meetings. And eventually, I had to move on from that. Because, again, I mean, I'm just a hole puncher child. I just punch holes. You know, and sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. You know, because sometimes my presentation can be really rough. people are not listening to what I say, they're into how I say it. Because I got body language, I got facial expressions, you know, and it can afford the person to shut down from what I'm saying. So I've gotten better with that, you know. Somebody said, yes, I did, so. You know, so today I kind of come at you a little different. You know, but I do know that service work is so, so important. And a lot of times, I kind of get feelings because sometimes people get bogged down with doing a whole bunch of service work because other people won't step up to the plate. You know, it's just not about going to meetings. This fellowship has to run. You know what I'm saying? Suppose we didn't have anybody to chair meetings. Or we didn't have a GSR to go to the area meeting to find out what's going on in Narcotics Anonymous on the regional level, on the world level. You know, if we didn't have people to be on the hotline. You know, so when a suffering addict calls and wants some help or someone to talk to. And we even struggle in that area. You know, not getting people to want to, you know, be on the hotline maybe like 12 midnight to like 6 a.m. in the morning. You know, those are the hours when an addict really needs someone, you know, or to be, you know, the literature person to go and get the literature from wherever and bring it back and so that your area will be able to purchase this stuff to take to your meetings. You know, it's just so much more to service than coming to a meeting. Just like this convention today, I mean, they had to do a lot of work, you know, to put this on. And suppose everybody said, well, they'll get it done. They'll get it done. They don't need me. You know, and I am always of service simply because it was given to me. You know, somebody was here for me. You know, and today, in meetings, I constantly share about, in our area, we need more people to step up to the plate. You know, we get marathons. We need people to, everybody wants to chair a meeting at 2 p.m. in the day. You know, but 2 in the morning? No. You may get someone, you know, but it's the same person over and over and over again. And it's just not fair to the individual. You know, the first tradition talks about if the group perishes, the individual dies. You know what I'm saying? And in our fifth tradition, it talks about what is our message? It's hope. That any addict can stop using, lose their desire, and acquire a new way of life. But if no one's here in service to offer that, I would be so afraid to go to a meeting on a basic list, and I'm new. And it's not there. And it's not there because we couldn't keep anybody in service. I mean, I could see if the place says y'all can no longer hold your meeting here. But for a meeting to shut down because no one is willing to stay in service and be committed, that's so sad. Man, I cried behind a situation like that. You understand? Because somebody that don't even know where meetings are, just know where that meeting is, and feel like using. And then go to this place, and there's no one there. You know what I'm saying? And that's something that we as a society have to think about. If you're not in service on some level in your area, you need to think about it. Even if you got 30 days, you can put chairs up. You can get involved anytime you like. H&I, you can come to H&I with a day clean. People in here have been on H&I since they've been here. Just being a full service. It's such a pleasure when we go to the jails and institutions to take a meeting. And those folks say, are you coming back? You know, we just got a letter the other day in the H&I meeting from a brother that was in prison. He was in prison in Virginia, and they shipped him to Ohio. And when he was in Virginia, they had meetings. We took a meeting. And now in Ohio, it's no meetings. They give him nothing, no literature or nothing. But he says, I want to live. Can you all send me a basic text? Can you all send me some literature? Now just think, if nobody was on H&I to be of service when the letter came. we could not have helped that brother. You know what I'm saying? But we were able to pass that letter on, you know, and get him some help. It's important that we be of service to Narcotics Anonymous. This is not about getting fat, gaining weight, you know, getting a nice house, a nice car, bank account, cable wired up, what do you call that, VCR, and a Blockbuster card, and a Money Most card. You got to have a Most card. It ain't about getting all that and then thinking that's it. It's about getting yourself together to come back and be of service. I'm going to be in service until I can't be in service no more. And I've been here almost 13 years, and I've been in service nonstop. And when H&I is over, I'll still be on the committee, but I'll find something else to do. You know, because when I go to that halfway house for women on Friday, I get a good feeling. Whether some of them don't want to identify in or not, that's not my problem. I'm there just to let them know that if they want to stay stopped one day at a time, they can do that. You know, I'm gonna share this and I'm gonna turn it over. There's this guy in the room, right? And he really don't know how full I am because he's here. We were in treatment together, and you know, we went separate ways. And it's important whether or not he stayed or not. The bottom line is that he's here. And on the H&I, we draw names for newcomers to get a free package to come up to the convention. And I just said, well, I'm going to put his name in there. Put his name in there. And I turned it over. I put it in there and I turned it over. You know, I said, your will, not mine. And lo and behold, did his name get pulled? Did his name get pulled? You know, because it ain't important, like I said, whether or not he stayed. It's just that I want for him what I want for me. You know, and he here, and he said he is so happy that when he got to that hotel room, that he had to fall to his knees and pray and thank his higher power for another chance in life. Simply because there's somebody out there don't even know it's a way out. I didn't until I got arrested. You know, I never heard of N.A. prior to getting there. Never. But when I got rescued and got into this program, I promise, I know I can never repay my higher power for what he's done for me, but I know how I can show my gratitude is in how I live and that I'd be of service to this program. Next year, the East of the River is going to host this convention. And if you're not in service, they're going to need so many people. Get on the hug squad. You know, I'm going to be on special needs. I've never been on that, so I'm going to learn something. You know, if you're not in service, get on the committee for next year and see how good you're going to feel while you're in service. And in the midst of it all, it's going to be confusion and people are going to be bickering. But this is the reward afterwards. The work got done. And now they're here hosting this convention, and it is a success. You know what I'm saying? So I encourage you, if you're not in service, please, please read our literature, read the traditions, and find out how we need to hold this thing together, what we need to do. I'd like to thank the CPR for asking me to come and share. I hope that I've helped someone in realizing how important service is. And it's really easy to get in service. Just get with somebody that's in service. Just get with somebody that you see in service, and they're going to show you how to do this thing. Nobody talking. Find somebody that's walking. That's walking, not talking, walking and being in service. And I guarantee you, you're going to feel good. Thank you for letting me share. I have to send a shout out to all my D.C. folks that came to support Joan. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Larry Orr.
Thank you. I'm Larry. I'm an addict.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful message, Joan.
Thank you.
There's not a whole lot I could add to that. I don't know. As far as me, I made a commitment when I was in a treatment center December 5th, 1983. I was wondering where my life was going. I didn't know what to do. I ended up in treatment, and all I remember is in my room, got down on my knees and started crying and just said, God, please show me what I need to do and how I need to change my life. And I got out of the treatment center. Well, during the treatment center, they used to take us to this little mountain meeting on Sunday mornings, and it used to be a breakfast meeting. And I remember them asking they needed volunteers to help cook. And I figured that's something I could do when I get out, you know. And I got out of treatment. I kept going to that meeting. I volunteered to start cooking. And I did that for the first year of my recovery. And I got, after about a year or so on that, I got nominated to be GSR for my home group. And I went to my first area service meeting. And, you know, and I've heard all the things, area circus and how, you know, crazy it is and all this stuff. You know, so you get that first thing in your mind is like, what the heck am I doing, you know? So I went to my first area service meeting, and they were taking nominations for positions, you know, H&I and PI. And somebody says, I nominate Larry for H&I. And I'm like, what's H&I? And, you know, and they just said, don't worry about it. We'll show you. And I said, okay, fine. So I had to give up my GSR position and take on H&I. And I tell you, that was the biggest move or biggest thing I've done in my recovery is, you know, getting into H&I work. And I took that on for the first year, you know, and going into detoxes, going into jails and that, you know, really made me look at, you know, what I need to do in my life, you know, and to help people and show them what I was taught. And, you know, I did that for a year, and then I was nominated vice chair for H&I for the CMP region, and it just went on and on and on, you know. Just, you know, like, would I become a service junkie? You know, I couldn't get enough. I just had to stay involved and do the things. And somebody asked me, you know, they knew I did the cooking for that mountain meeting, and Norvan, we had started up a thing called Unity Weekend in the fall. We did a thing called Together We Can in the spring. There was a little camp out. We used to go out into the hills in Front Royal and have this little weekend retreat. And I did the cooking for that. It started out to be about 50 people, and then it turned into 150 for a weekend. And that was very enjoyable. And I remember one time somebody said something to me about, you know, Larry, why are you all, you know, you're in the kitchen the whole time, the whole weekend, you know, you're not being involved in the weekend. And what he didn't understand was some of the best meetings were held in that kitchen with the people in there helping. Newcomers coming in, washing dishes for the first time, you know, doing something that they don't normally do. And just seeing, you know, just the changes going on through doing those things, you know, just doing the little things. And, you know, that's what I found about service. It doesn't take a whole lot to give back. It's just that you got to learn to give back something, you know. Because, you know, when I came in here, you know, it just, you know, there was so much I could, you know, be grateful for. And it was like, what do I got to do? And it was just anything. You know, the area that I belong to now, which is the Dulles Corridor area, you know, we're struggling like, you know, probably a lot of areas in there as far as getting support. You know, we have a lot of subcommittees that are not, don't even have chairpersons for, you know. And when I went to my first area service there, they were taking votes on whether to shut the area down or what to do, or just to merge with another area. And I just, you know, I had to say my thing is like, I'm not willing to give up this area until there's only one person left in this room, you know. And you know, as long as there's groups to support it, you know, let's keep it going. Let's do what we can. What I try to do is I try to put out a message to people is that with the members that are in Narcotics Anonymous now and how much we've grown over these years, if one person, just one addict, supported one subcommittee or one thing once a month, every position would be filled. You know, we try, you know, I guess people, you know, we come in and we think, you know, service work, you know, we got to put all this time into it, you know, and it's all this effort. It's being on one committee once a month, and that's it. And everything gets supported. And all you have to do is show up just to be on a subcommittee. Just show up there and share what you feel is service. You know, there's really not much to it. It's just being there, you know, giving input and helping the people on the committee on whatever they need. I've been over the years been told and people saying, you know, service work is not for everybody. I don't believe that. You know, I came here, I'm getting something that is more precious to me than to anything is my life. I had no life before. I mean, there's really no question about, you know, I got to give something back. I have to pay for my rent in these seats, you know. To me, I feel people that come in, and this is just me, is that I feel if you come in and you share and you leave and you don't give something back, you're just shoplifting, just like we used to do. You know, just coming in for that quick thing and get the hell out. You know, that quick get, you know, make me feel good and, you know, thanks, see ya, gone. You know? I'm trying not to repeat a lot about what Joan had said because she shared a great message. And it just, today I was downstairs working in registration, and if you got people coming at you for 2 hours, you know, and people like, you know, of course not everybody is, you know, is nice. Some things, you know, don't go ways, and people get a little cranky and whatever. And I had somebody come up to me and says, you know, who's the chairperson? And I'm automatically thinking, oh, here go another complaint. And I said, hold on, I'll get her. And I asked Joanne, I said, Joanne, can you come over here? And they said, I want to help. What can I do? Do you have a sign-up sheet? And I just, like, felt bad because what I thought was all they wanted to do is come up and complain, but they wanted to come up and serve. And it's just that simple. If you don't ask, you won't find it. You know, that's just, you know, I took on a position called outreach. I don't know, I guess some areas have it, where you go out and try to help other groups that are struggling. And I'd share at the area service meeting, if there's any groups that want support, you know, let me know which groups they are. And then I would go to meetings and share, saying I'm part of outreach. You know, I have these, there's 6 meetings in our area that need support, need people with clean time to go out and share. And people come up and says, you know, I'd like to help you in that. Here's my number, give me a call. I'm like, no. I'm not doing the footwork. If you want to serve, you want to share, you want to help, I'll tell you where the meetings that need help, you show up. You know, you do the footwork. I'm trying just to do what I was asked to do. You need to do the work yourself. You know, I don't know how many people have kids in these rooms, but I have a daughter, and she'll be 19 in June. And she has helped me a lot as far as being involved in service, because, actually she has more clean time than I do. And because when she was at the age of 2, I had left my dope laying around, and she ate it and overdosed. And, you know, and she's always been involved with me doing these things as far as service, doing the campouts, you know, whatever. And, I do it for me mostly, but I do it for her too, because I'm the parent that I want to be today because of service work, because I've learned some structure in my life and how to deal with raising my daughter. And I felt, now I feel like I've done, you know, my part. Okay, and that's part of my service work in my recovery, is being a father. You know, as long as I'm doing what I'm doing with her and within my program, you know, my life is better. And if I can, what I can do to help other people, I try to do too. I'm going to cut this short. I don't know if I've gone over, even gone long enough, but I'm grateful that the committee asked me to share today. I just hope I shared something to help out. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Meeting's open. Would anybody like to share?
My name is James. I'm a current addict.
Come on up, James.
Oh, my God.
Yes, James.
James?
You didn't tell me anything, right?
I did. My name is James. I'm a current addict.
Hey, James.
And I'm only here through the grace of God also, too. And it's been a pleasure to be here at this convention. This is my second convention. And the first one was held in New Year's during the holidays, D.C. area in Washington, D.C. I got a lot out of what Joan and
Larry.
And what Larry had shared. I'm coming up on my third year of being clean and sober. And the message tonight is about service. Well, when I first became to the fellowship, I wasn't sure about what you were talking about, what service was, because I was in the military, and that's what I thought service was. So I was very, very confused. But the ladies in this group in which I was going to, they voted me as their coffee maker. And at that time, my attitude was, all these women here are so fine, and I'm going to get me some, right? But what they had something in for me was a different story. What I got in that group was clean and sober for my first year. Ever since then, I managed to participate with my sponsor in service also, too. And I think it's very, very important. And I started to go back to the meetings from where I got my help from, being clean and serene one day at a time. Oh. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, my name is Cheryl. I'm an addict.
Hey, Cheryl.
I just wanted to say that I'm really grateful to be here. I got Joan and Larry gave a real powerful message. When I first got clean, I got in service work. Like Joan was saying, 30 days, H&I. I had 60 days, and I was secretary of H&I. I did a lot of slowly getting in it, I didn't want to do coffee, but I did a lot like you did, and I went on to be chair of H&I in Susquehanna area, and that was very, very rewarding, and it was real good for me. I mean, I didn't just jump into being chair. I went to secretary and then panel leader and, then the speaker, and it was really good to learn each step. And then I was regional secretary of H&I, and it was the most rewarding work I've ever done. I think it's helped me to stay clean these past 3 years. Actually, it really helped me stay clean the first 2 years. This past year, last April, my commitment was up with H&I as chair. Like you said, you have to turn it over, and I needed to grow in my recovery in another area, and I had every intention of joining another subcommittee and learning something different from my recovery, but I didn't do that. And I do sponsor women, and that is a service commitment, and I do have a home group, but I really do miss the H&I. I know our area needs public information. The Susquehanna area does not have public information. I was 26 years old when I heard of NA for the first time ever in my life. And at that time, that was in 92, and NA had been in Susquehanna area since 83, and it's real sad that I did not, know, living in the town that I lived in, that there was NA meetings. I could have had help 10 years earlier if there was a public information committee. So I am sharing this because I have every intention of joining public information in my area, because it needs to start somewhere, even with one person. And I know other people have tried in our area And they one person would go to the subcommittee, and they'd go every month for like 3 months, and nobody else showed. And, you know, it got frustrating. And like what Larry was saying, you know, every person did something, whether it's sponsoring, whether it's making coffee, GSR, all, you know, we will die, you know, without helping each other. And I know I don't want to go to an empty NA meeting. And so I'm sharing this basically because I really need to do, like, you know, I'm missing. It is really lacking in my program, and the greatest joy for me was giving it back through H&I, and I need to grow. I need to do, like I said, and I did grow, like, on my steps, because being clean 60 days, you're not doing a whole lot of step work if you're doing a lot of other service work. And I am on my eighth step now, so, you know, I've got my two sponsees on their fourth step. I just lost a third sponsee, moved. And I think it's time for me to get back into the service. And thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to share?
Hey, my name is Shirley, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Shirley.
I want to thank Joan and Larry for sharing it, and I've been privileged to be in service with both of them for a long time. Sometimes it seems too long. But, you know, wow. Service work to me is, I know that it is the thing that has kept me around for as long as I have, because I'm a social kind of person. You know, I was a social kind of addict, and I'm a social kind of person. And being in service always makes me be with other people, you know, and I like that. When I first got clean, they still smoked a lot at meetings in the D.C. area. And they told me to empty ashtrays and put up chairs. And I was really like, I'm not, because they told me to stop smoking when I came in. If I was going to stop using, might as well stop all them bad habits. So I did follow the suggestion. And I did not want to dump ashtrays, especially since I wasn't smoking, or put up grown people's chairs. But when I got here, I was ready to surrender. Because I know I got here by grace, and it was the time I was supposed to, and I was willing to listen, and I did just that. And I, like, you know, like what Larry said, he didn't want to repeat too much about what Joan said, but this is a repetitious program anyway. So nothing that you will hear this weekend will probably be unique by any means. And that's how we stay here, just by doing the same things over and over, and the good things. But I pretty much did that. You know, I became a coffee maker. And in my home group, we don't have real coffee. We have water, hot water that we boil. And I like that just fine, because I don't drink coffee either. But I drink tea. And they call my home group sometimes a Gestapo home group, because it's in the policy of my home group that we be there an hour before the meeting starts. The meeting starts at 7:30, and we're there at 6:30. To set up the chairs, and like Joan said, get that water and that pot boiling so that when people come in the door at 7:30, the water's hot. And the funny thing about it is people start coming to the meeting at 6:30 to help us set up the chairs and write on the blackboard and write if it's step traditional basic tech study meeting, you know. They come and they say, can I write on the blackboard tonight, or can I put the chairs up? And it's a good feeling. So it's like we had a meeting before the meeting, then we had a meeting, and then we had a meeting after the meeting. You know, because after the meeting, we got to put all the chairs back, and we got to empty the rest of the water out the coffee pot. And, you know, and I went on to do other things, too. When I had my first chair position, I wanted to be the best chairperson we had ever had in the D.C. area. And it was at a 12 o'clock meeting downtown. So I would leave my job at 11 o'clock and go pick up my speaker and bring them to the meeting and drive them home or drive them back to their jobs after the meeting. Because I had not learned yet how to trust in the process that if they didn't show up, the meeting would go on. Today, if a person don't show up, they didn't show up. You know, the meeting takes care of itself. But I just wanted to be so good at what I did. Because, see, coming to Narcotics Anonymous was the first thing that I feel like in my whole life I've ever done right. You know, I don't do it right all the time, but I do it right a lot of the time, at least in my service positions. And I just kept working my way up doing things, you know. I got on H&I too when I had 5 months, and I stayed on it, and I took a break from it to work on the convention. When the D.C. area hosted this convention, number 9, I took a break, and then after that I got on the policy committee to revise the policy, and then as soon as that was over, I got back on H&I, because I still today believe that H&I is the most rewarding thing that you can do. Other than making that coffee and welcoming that newcomer, H&I, to me, is the most gratifying service I've ever done. And I, too, like Joan, am a member of D.C. Area H&I, and I'm very proud of that, because I go to that halfway house on the weeks that she don't go, and, yeah, sometimes they hard-headed, and sometimes I want to say, I don't want to be here any more than y'all do, you know, but I don't. And the reason I don't is because that's not what they did to me. You know, I have another facility. And see, I had to learn through a lot of trial and error, even in service work, that it is better for me to go to women's facilities and carry the message than it is for me to go to men's facilities. Because when I go down Lorton and there's 300 men, that boosts my ego. Because see, even if you're having a bad hair day, or you ain't dressed the way you think you want to be that day, and how they ended up in a trailer that's not as big as most people's bathrooms, you really get in touch with what this program is all about. And when people say, how come you keep doing service work, and I always say, I'm not doing a lot of things for the person that's receiving. I'm doing it for me. When I carry meetings to that halfway house or to that trailer, I'm not carrying it for them as much as I'm carrying it for me. Because I truly believe that I can only keep what I have by giving it away. Because that's what you all told me. You know, I am the ASR right now, the D.C. area. And in July, my time will be up. And I, quite frankly, was getting a little scared. Not scared. But I was like, what am I going to do now? You know, I'll still be on H&I, but my chair position at my home group was over. And you know, and now I'm not going to be the SR as of August. So it's like, what am I going to do? So I re-enlisted. You know, I re-enlisted in service, and I became the chairperson for convention information for CPRCNA number 13 next year. Right. You know, and so I know that one more year I have to stay clean. You know, because I know as long as I keep coming back and as long as I stay in service, I'm going to stay clean. You know, because I had one incident in my recovery, and it's one incident that I always relate to in the back burner of my mind whenever I think about anything other than what I'm supposed to think about, is that I was in a place that you shouldn't be in, D.C., and I had 9 months clean, and I had no business being there, but I was going to go back, and I was going to show everybody how I got fat to death, not this fat, but fat to death, and I was going to save everybody up in this particular housing development complex. I was going to get them all in the rooms, and we was going to be one big happy family, just like we was up in that old joint. You know, we was going to be one big happy family, and I was there, and everybody was saying how good I looked, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and before you know it, I started hearing what was out there, who had it, how much, da-da-da-da-da, and I was on a fence. I was on that fence that they talk about, and I looked at my watch, and I had a service commitment in like 30 minutes, and it would take me from where I was to the service commitment about 22 minutes to get there, and only thing I could do, y'all, was to pray. And then everybody thought I was crazy because I just kind of dropped down to my knees in this particular place and started praying. And I said, okay, it's not my will anymore. What do I do? And I ended up at 6 o'clock at that service commitment on that Saturday night. And I haven't looked back like that again since. So I know that this thing works. I know when they say don't get on the end of the bed, get in the middle of the bed. That's where I'm most comfortable at. You know, I don't, when people say about being service junkies, I be so bad. When I'm at my job late at night and I'm making flyers for something, I'm like, oh well, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. Because no matter how much I give back, no matter how good I do or think I'm doing, it would never make up for all that I've done. You know, so I'm grateful to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. I will serve in any capacity that my God will allow me. And thank you all for allowing me to share.
Thank you.
It was
I want to first and foremost thank Joan for that powerful message here about that service. And lied to because I'm one of them service junkies. 7 days a week, every meeting I go to, I sit up and I make coffee. 7 days a week, I'm the coffee making 7 different meetings. You know what I mean? And it's okay. I enjoy it. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for me. And when she says something about there were some people in Virginia, from Virginia, I'm also on the H&R committee in the Novana area in Virginia. You know what I mean? And I got a service position down at the detox. I chair a meeting on Tuesday down there. But when she says something about service and the people were from Virginia, I was glad that she mentioned it. I wish she could have spoken a little louder because they need to really get it. I talked about being recommitted to this program in every meeting I go to. But they tell me about they got 8 and 10 and 15 years and they call me the chaotic man. I start trouble every meeting I go in. You know what I mean? But I tell them if they don't read that literature, if they read the literature, they'd be right on page one with me. You know what I mean? I remember because I wasn't criticizing, but they said that when they made this program up, they said that we was powerless over our addiction. They didn't specify no drugs. They said our addictions, you know, meaning it was test strap. So what I do, I read everything I can and try to pass on some information. I'm new. Believe me, I'm new. I only got 10 months now in the program this time. Because I went back and went to Mary's, as she said, and did some experiment so I could go back and tell them people about a relapse. You know, today I can laugh about that thing, but I try to live in it now. So I'm right where I wanted to go back home, but I'm right where I need to be, and I heard exactly what I needed to hear. And now when I go back to Virginia, I got somebody that I can one day call and ask to come over there and share in that same experience. Only in today, and I live in the now. See, I don't keep revisiting my past, because if I keep revisiting it, I get comfortable and I think I can do it again. So I'm going to live now, and I'm going to be grateful in this day here. And like I said just a while ago, I wanted to go back home, because we went down there and people was talking, I couldn't hear what the people were saying. And he said, my friend back there said, come on, let's go back to a meeting. And I heard just what I needed. Thanks for allowing me to share that, but thank you, Joan, again, baby.
Hi, everybody. My name is George, and I'm an addict. You know, it's only through grace that I'm here today. And I'm the gentleman that Joan was talking about. And I'd like to thank Joan and the brother Larry for y'all sharing, because I got a lot of y'all messages. You know, when, like Joan said, when she put my name in that basket and just turned over to her higher power, that's the same thing I did when I walked into that hotel room and I looked out the window and I seen that water. I know it wasn't my doing that got me here. So I had to humbly fall down on my knees and give thanks to God. And right now, N.A. saved my life. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
I'm Jerry and I'm an addict.
Hey, Jerry.
The basic text states that if we want to keep what we have, we must give it away. And I have a high power, a real sense of humor. Every time I get comfortable in what I'm doing, he puts another service commitment in my lap. Mm-hmm. And it has really made a difference in my life. I'd like to thank everyone who shared. And can someone please come up and read just for today? No, it's back here.
Oh, is that it?
You have to just for today.
Hi, my name is Doreen Elmatic.
Hi, Doreen.
Just for today, tell yourself, Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to tell me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So as long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. Just for today.
Can we have a moment of silence for the Advent Film Company, followed by the Wee version? God,
grant us the way to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if we're working.
I won't if you don't.
Did you want this back?
Yeah.
I was going to read it.
I don't know how you going to read it. You can get a copy. You can find a way you can get a copy. I can't give it to you. I read it.
Y'all have a copy of it.
I have no idea.
Let's go see.
That was
without it in where they get signed in and everything. They might have it down.
Okay.
By myself. I should do it. It's good enough.
But I got to go. I'll be with you in a minute.
I'm going to go back to you down there. I'll meet you down by the front door.
I'm in charge right now.
You love it, don't you?
Yep. How do I look, honey? Do I look like... I'll tell you, they did a hell of a lighting job in this place. See those light fixtures right there?
Yeah.
About $500 a copy. Yeah, it seems like in all the meeting rooms. And see these right here?
Yeah.
Those right there are about $250.
For that whole square?
Yeah, for that whole square. Actually, they're about $40 per 2x2 section. I mean, and that's distributed cost by the time it ends up to the owner.
Like labor in there?
Oh, yeah, that's not included. Now, let me study my notes. I'm such a little cutie. I'm a little cutie. I did not. I tossed it over on the couch. Now, it might just be me and you, baby. In and they say, I ain't going in there. Okay. I recommend this one highly.
Yes, I'm going to get both.
Well, okay.
Why?
Well, I'm just thinking, you don't want to overwhelm yourself. You know, it's like you can get so much going on that you don't get anything out of nothing.
I know.
I used to do that in my prayer and meditation time. I had a stack of books that tall. Daily meditations. Just read one little section in each one. But I'd get done and say, I'd have them all mixed up, all scattered around.
Yeah, I'm real confused on my, Al-Anon program and also my AA program. I haven't even, because I was on a roll there, was reading my literature every day in Al-Anon, I was into it. I mean, I'm still into it, but, the book of the steps, and I read them every day, and I was getting ready, and I read step 3 once. And usually I just read them until I feel like I got it. But I haven't done it. It's been a month.
Have you been reading the AA stuff?
Big book. And I haven't been reading it. No.
Well, I strongly recommend that you read the first 164 pages of the big book.
You know, I heard you say that is my goal right now, to read those. And then I'll probably read it.
Good
morning. Good. How about you?
Good.
Are you our chairman?
No, sir. I'm on the host committee, just making sure.
From the what?
Host committee, just to make sure everybody shows up.
Yeah, we're going to have a great meeting here. Becky and I were just talking. If it's just us, we'll do fine.
Great. Are you secretary?
I'm Mike Burke. I'm the speaker.
Speaker? Okay, great. And are you the other speaker? Or?
Oh, we have two speakers.
Well, I don't know. Well, the other ones have, so.
I don't know. According, I don't know.
If it's going as one. How can you tell? I couldn't tell. Other conventions I've been to, you know, I have to speak.
That's right. They have it right on the thing. Now, I saw something maybe when I checked in, maybe down at the speaker check-in. I saw something. I thought it